You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome to the DMVR Avalanche podcast. Before we start the show, we want to take a moment and tell you about Green Mountain Dental Group in Lakewood. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans just like all of us. Beyond being local and being sports fans like us, Green Mountain Dental has this amazing offer. Schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. Tweet at us and let us know how that's worked out for you. We'd love to interact with you and let Green Mountain Dental know about the great things they're doing for us and all our fans. I can't tell you how jealous I've been with all my colleagues getting their Sonicare toothbrushes. I need to schedule a cleaning right now and go hit them up. Their offices are only 15 minutes from downtown Denver. They're local. They're great. They support us, and they have this great offer. Check them out. Let's start the show.
And Cole gets another good righty and another right by Cole. A left by Cole this time. Tipped in front by Mika Rantanen. He shoots and scores. Nathan MacKinnon. Call J.T. Comfer. 877 goes now. Gabriel Landeskog. Collective hugs. 29-92. Save me by Grubauer. Move over, Picasso. This piece of art is by MacKinnon. My goodness gracious.
Hello, everyone. we'll give this a second, as we do from time to time. That's what I should have done yesterday, was the old give it a second, you know. But I jumped right in. Classic.
Always in such a hurry.
I know, exactly.
Such a boy thing.
So true. Well, we are live. Welcome, everyone, to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. Davidson's has two locations in Centennial and Highlands Ranch. These guys are locally owned and have a massive selection. They carry our personal Breckenridge brews and are incredibly knowledgeable. They, of course, still deliver, and they are kind of our takeout go-to for Breck beers and anything you might desire. Or they do curbside delivery, so you don't have to come in and deal with any of that. You can download their app today for incredible deals and sign up for their loyalty program. Let's start the show, my man. How are you doing today?
I'm good, dude. I am much better than yesterday. Yesterday was one of those days where every little thing just went wrong. And, like, nothing big, like, super first world problem-y stuff.
Right.
But it was just, like, at every turn, it was like, this is annoying. And today has been great so far.
That's what I love to hear, my man. Yeah, man. I think the topic of the show changes a little bit. Yesterday, you know, we talked about some heavier stuff, and today I think we can just get hyped about this season that's coming up.
The season that will be, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so where shall we start? Shall I just start us off?
Well, so that's where we're going to, you know, lot of news with the CBA and all that. I'll wait for Rudo to come back to really get into the nitty gritty of all of that and why that will matter and where that's going to have an effect on the Avs. We'll do that tomorrow when Rudo comes back. We have guests lined up for Thursday and Friday as well. So we're going to be talking Philadelphia Flyers on Thursday, and I'm not sure what yet on Friday.
Nice.
So a lot of stuff coming up, and then training camp Monday. But for now,
anything that stood out about the news without getting into the minutiae, any major headline or
I think the big thing for me was obviously the flat cap and how they're going to calculate the cap. The cap will not go up until hockey related revenue reaches $4.8 billion again. Which was the number that they used to get to the cap that they currently have.
Right.
So they, you know, hockey has to get back to that number. And when people are like, oh, cancel the season. You know, every time that you kick that can down the road for contracts that you've already signed with television, you have problems. And I completely understand where people are coming from and for the health of the players and all of those conversations. But it's like, the NHL is not the NFL or the NBA, you know, not even baseball. It is not going to survive long term. If they don't at least give this a try, and if for whatever reason there are no fans in the stands when the season comes back, like the NHL is not such a rich league overall that it can continue to take these hits.
This is not
the NFL where
right
you're just drowning in revenue all the time.
Right.
The NHL, there's only a handful of profitable teams every year, so you know, it's a tougher business conversation where it's like, if this continues to go on, you know, you could be looking at a league where all of a sudden, you know, if you still have 31 teams, 32 teams expected to be, you know, you could be looking at another cap, salary cap reduction, and that's bad for everybody involved. So like all of the just cancel it, like this is why they're trying to get it going. And to see that they're trying to, that they were able to find common ground, players and owners were able to find common ground on a 4-year CBA extension. Mm-hmm. Like this has been the most contentious relationship among player union and league over the last 15 to 20 years. And they just very quietly got a CBA done, and they worked out the money without any real problems. There was none of the consternation involved with some of these other leagues.
Right.
Where all of a sudden baseball and the players union are back at each other's throats again after labor peace for quite a while.
Yep.
And it that I think was maybe the most encouraging part was that, just that it got done without any real problems. That it's there was actual labor peace, and instead of, you know, players were signing bonus heavy contracts in anticipation of a 2022 lockout, and that way July 1st would roll around, and whether or not there was a new CBA or not, those guys were going to get paid.
Right.
And now, you know, there's no need for that. They have a 4-year extension. The CBA runs through the end of the 2025-2026 season.
Huge.
It's great for the that will help the game. It needs and like hockey has a chance to really win over some people right now and make some fans, because it's gonna start in the postseason, and we're gonna have lots of it. And that's where we're kind of going today with what are the things that we're most excited about. We've got three periods to get through, and so I figured we each could come up with three different things. We haven't exchanged lists, so we might have something overlap, but I figure that's where we start today.
Love it. So many things to pick from here.
Hi, Bob.
Especially Avs related, because when you put this assignment to me, I really, you know, once I started to think about all the things that I miss about the Avs and I'm so excited to have back, this really got me kind of giddy. And I don't know how you put this. You doing yours in order, like the thing you're most excited to have back? And then...
No, I don't have a particular order.
Okay.
I don't have like a set, like this is the number one thing I'm most excited about. I'm excited for all of it. Assuming players are healthy and that this actually goes on, I'm excited for all of it to come back. I'm ready to rock, man. I'm this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm with you. I should have worn an appropriate t-shirt for this because really, I think the number one thing I'm most excited to have back is the Avs top line.
The three-headed monster?
Oh my God, is there anything better than watching Max Skate and Mikko at full health again, playing the way, you know, the Martian level that Mikko is, that next level destroyer and killer at that size? How fun is it to watch that dude and Landy doing his Landy stuff with that necessary dad rest in place, you know, playing that full ice game and being physical in front of the net, and then doing a little Landy skillful stuff, a little Landy IQ stuff that you love so much. I mean, but most of all, I miss watching Max Skate, man. Just that alien who has another gear from just about anyone else in the NHL. I just can't wait. Until today, I almost didn't realize how much I missed it. It's just like injected into my veins. I want 29 running circles around people again. Give it to me now.
And not only, I mean, we didn't even get to see it that much this year because both Mikko and Landy got hurt right around the same time in the first half of the season. Yeah. And then they came back, and Mikko got hurt again, and it just sort of was like fits and starts, you know, like it didn't ever feel. And there was that whole point where they were back, and the team was healthy, and they struggled,
right?
Because all of a sudden it was like, okay, well now you know they're when guys were hurt, it was really easy to feel like, okay, Nate, you're the man. We're going to need you to do the man things and be our leader and go make something magical happen. And it was like, okay. And then when he got all the help back, they were still trying to figure out who they were as a team because they just hadn't spent any time together. Yep. And getting to see that top line, it's such an advantage for them. And basically, you put them up in against every playoff team. And outside of Edmonton, out west, outside of Edmonton, there isn't another top line that you're feeling like can hang with the three-headed monster. And even if they wanted to tinker with it and move Landy next to Kadri, and put Burakovsky back up on that top line, because we saw that had a lot of success too. Like whatever that combination, but Mac and the Big Moose together, it's that harmony, right? Like we've seen it for so many years now, and it's just they just work so nicely together because they're both such special players.
I'm sorry, there's no better combo in Denver sports than those two. There just is.
Give it a year and Vaughn and Chubb will be there.
Ooh, that'd be so nice. I thought you were going Maple Mamba and the Joker, but not quite at that level. They're great.
I just don't trust Jamal Murray.
Yeah, as well you should. He's got a lot to prove.
Jokic is a set and forget superstar, right? Guy that I have no qualms about. But Jamal Murray, it's like any given day, that dude. I have no idea.
Exactly. And I mean, just the thought of like these dudes on fresh legs. Because if the Avs needed them to do what they did last postseason and play 22 minutes a game, the insanity that was, they might just have the legs for it, man. They just might be fresh. And kind of my 1B, I'm so excited about the forward depth, right? I mean, that's what made this season so exciting starting off was that second line. Now we got Kadri. Now we got Donskoy. Now we got Burakovsky. I can't wait for that to pay off in the postseason. I'm just snapped about that.
Well, and knowing like that they're facing a decision where two of Matt Nieto, Tyson Jost, and Colin Wilson, two of those guys are going to be healthy scratches when they open up, you know. And though, of course, that makes the obvious assumption that everybody gets through camp okay.
Of course.
That probably won't happen. There will probably be groin pulls, things like that. There will probably be soft tissue injuries. Because guys are going to get back and they're trying to ramp up so quickly. I mean, two weeks of them skating around to try and get ready for postseason play is insanity. Like, you're going to get some hamstrings, groins, things like that.
Yep.
So we'll see. But that depth that they can rotate guys in and out of, you know, Nieto, Jost, and Wilson were all important playoff performers for them at various times last season. And two of those guys are going to be in suits.
I know.
Sitting in the stands, socially distanced.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago in that series against Nashville, just envying the forward depth they had, while that was our one weakness, to think how in just two years, it's completely flipped.
A testament to aggressive management. They definitely didn't sit around and say, oh, well, we can just wait for kids to develop, because they had the prospects to develop. If they wanted to go that route, it would have been justifiable. And instead, they went out and they aggressively went and got guys and filled up those spots and still have the prospects on the way to fill those jobs up in the next year. So I'm with you, man. That depth is something else. My first thing that I'm excited about, not going to be as AV-specific, but it's the schedule. Because
the format?
Yeah, like Z and I were the fiance and I were trying to go through the schedule, put together how we would make it so that you could watch it every day, knowing that they have to play seeding games at the same time as the qualifying round. Mm-hmm. You have 16 teams in the qualifying round. That means you've got 8 matchups, but you can't play them all on every day. So you got to play, you know, you have 2 cities. You're going to be playing multiple games per day. It's about 4 games in each city that need to get played every single day. And that's a ton of hockey to just sit and consume.
Meaningful.
Like hockey. Like start in the middle of the day. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking like games and puck drop is going to be at noon. Oh, and like we're going to be sitting in the DNVR lounge because the bar won't even be open yet. We're going to be, you know, I'm thinking Rudo or I will stream one of the games and we'll be in the voice chat and we'll be hanging out. And we'll just be talking through the game and just, you know, just hanging out with a bunch of with all of the subscribers who want to hang out with us during the day, just talking about playoff hockey that's taking place. And if it's the Avs game, then it's the Avs game.
Right.
If it's the Avs game, we probably won't be doing quite as much hanging out because we all have jobs to be doing.
So true.
But you know, watching Vancouver and Minnesota in the middle of the day where it's like, okay, it's going to be great. That's what I'm so excited about is the schedule. It's just going to be this onslaught of hockey all day, day after day after day after day. It's going to be great because they don't have time. They have to get this done. They have to schedule aggressively. They can't do any of this 2-3 days off stuff. I'm just given all of the people that are going to be all the teams that are involved, how you want to avoid competitive advantages, like the seeding round, the teams that are playing the seeding games, the top four in each conference.
Yeah.
You can't have them sitting while the qualifying round plays because then they have to play. It'll take them a week to play the seeding games. Then you have to do that, and then what? The teams are going to play a qualifying round and then sit for a week? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you want them all going at the same time. Mm-hmm. That way, everybody can roll right into the official first round all on the same playing field, having played a number of games. So, playing at least 3 games, because it's best of 5, and the seeding rounds will be 3 games. So, everybody will get at least 3 of those games in before the official first round begins. And I think that's what most excites me, man, is that it's going to be so much hockey to watch.
Yeah, you're saying you're excited about the gluttonous feast of high-intensity hockey that'll be going on for consecutive days for 2 months. That's got you excited?
It's going to be like a Vegas buffet of hockey games every single day.
Truly. I mean, just hearing you say that, sadly, I feel like this a lot talking sports lately, but it's like, man, we're not worthy. Like, we don't deserve this. Like, I don't know what I'll do with myself. It's already been so amazing to have like soccer back and that like takes care of my days. But then it's been weird. Like in the evenings, all of a sudden, I don't have sports to watch. Yeah. And I could always put something on. Now to have that back and have like way too many options.
Oh. I'm just like, please have the Avs play during the day so that I can watch the Rockies at night or the Nuggets. Like,
oh, it's going to be.
I'm actually thankful that the NBA is wasting a bunch of time on regular season games, because it means hockey is going to be like, everybody's going to be like, oh, well, those games are actually mattering. Like, these games are actually for something.
Right.
And that's just going to, it's going to give hockey a chance to stand out in a spotlight that it struggles to get on a regular basis.
I think hockey, since this has kind of been a theme of this first period, hockey's really done a great job and should be truly poised to maximize this window they have right now, and really kind of grab more eyes than they've been able to in quite some time, I'd say. So it really is an exciting time, not just for the Avs, but the entire sport, I think. Fair to say, my dear captain, that the first period is in the books?
Fair to say.
Just want to remind you, our good friends at Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. Check out the farmhouse, which is open and socially distanced. You can pick up food there, and check out the Mile High City Copper Lager. They're 15 can pack. You can get it delivered from Davidson's or head to the nearest grocery store like King Supers and pick it up. You can also order delicious food and some great booze from Breckenridge from their farmhouse directly. You can do that by calling 303-803-1380 from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. for pickup, and use DMVR to save $5. And don't forget to use the Breckenridge beer locator to find the specific beers you are looking for. And then I want to remind you, and this is a tough read for me, AJ, because my three-way parlay did not come through just now because my Italian pick didn't work. Of course, I did that at our good friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook using their app, probably the app I use the most on my phone these days. So easy to use, and it's all because betting is legal in Colorado, so you find some amazing deals. One that really caught my eye today was on the main card for the upcoming UFC 251 pay-per-view. You can pick either Usman or Masvidal to win, and they're giving you a plus 500 odds boost. So it doesn't matter if you're taking the minus 260 favorite, you still can get it as a massive 5-1 underdog, because DraftKings is just gifting you money, and they have been doing that throughout. In a lot of ways, I feel like, you know, an old lady in Minnesota couponing, you know, to save money. It's the same concept betting on DraftKings. Just don't do what I also do and go with three-way parlays and stuff like that on European soccer or golf to win big, you know, and then your coupon savings might come back to bite you a little bit. But download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DNVR when you sign up. For a limited time, new users can get a no-brainer odds boost on the headline fight for Saturday. You bet $20 to win $100. Yep, that's right. No matter who you pick, Usman or Burns, your odds will be boosted to $20 to win $100. So head to DraftKings Sportsbook now and sign up with code DMVR. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus compromised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right, brother. We're keeping on with this theme, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, I would say that is the plan. Yes, accurate.
Do you want to start in round two on the second period with what you're most excited about since I started period one?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess I can. I think the thing that I'm most excited about Avalanche-wise is... Yeah. I want to see there are jobs to be won. Like, we know that there's a flat cap, and we know that that's going to cause certain contract conversations to take place. But in practice every day, because there are going to be extras, guys are going to have chances to make impressions. We talked to this about this a little bit, like with AJ Greer, Sheldon Dries, some of these other guys that are like borderline guys. There are chances for jobs to be won going into next year. You know, if they take a chance and they bring Bowen Byram on the travel squad, they invite him to camp and he travels and he goes, and that's he gets to use that as a springboard to trying to make the team next year. You know, that's an opportunity for him. If they bring Connor Timmins, that's an opportunity for him to make an impression. They're going to be practicing with the NHL team every day. Mm-hmm. The coaches are going to have their own eyes on them. They're not going to be getting reports from anybody. There's not going to be any secondhand information. It's going to be purely first-person perspective of what this guy can do, how this guy might be able to help. And I'll be curious to see if they get 2-3 rounds into this. You know, they get 10-15 games in. Do some of these guys start to push for jobs, push for ice time right away? And maybe the position that's most unsettled there is goaltender, because Grubauer, I think it's fair to assume Grubauer's the number one right now.
Yes.
But Francouz did such a great job when Gruby went down that if Grubauer struggles, I don't think that there can be a long leash.
Yes.
And that's the faith that Francouz earned with his play. Like, he played an unbelievable stretch where he was one of the NHL's three stars of the week, back-to-back weeks, something no Av had ever done before.
That's crazy.
Like, all you think of all the guys who have played for the Avs. That's
insane, man.
And nobody hit it, and Pavel Francouz is the guy that does that. So that, you know, and what gets lost in, oh, Frankie played so well down the stretch, was that before the injury, Grubauer was playing the best he had played all year.
Yep.
And so when you had both goalies were hot at the end, they were both playing great at the right time of year. And now with that reset, goalies being as unpredictable as they are, you have no idea what kind of shape they're going to be in mentally and what they're going to look like. I'm excited to see how that plays out, because, you know, Frankie signed a 2-year extension for $2 million. Very, very good backup money. But Grubauer has 1 year left on his deal from when the Avs got him.
Yeah.
And we're 2 years in now, and you cannot say that he's the long-term answer. He's the clear-cut long-term guy. He has not had a full season. You know, he had to compete with Varley. Mm-hmm. And then this year he was the clear-cut number one, and he was just okay at portions of it. Yep. He opened up the door for Frankie, and Frankie fumbled the opportunities every so often. Mm-hmm. And then when he got hurt, obviously, when injuries came into it, Frankie had moments where he pushed and pushed and pushed. When they were both healthy, Frankie wasn't able to secure the job.
Yeah.
And so Grubauer is going to get another long look at this, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I'm really excited. I'm excited to see, can Grubauer lock this down? Because he played really well in the postseason last year. If he repeats that performance, plays really well in the postseason again, then I think we go into the start of next season, Gruby is the clear-cut number one, and then we're having the conversation of maybe in the offseason, do the Avs extend him?
Right.
Do they give him a new contract? Because you don't ever like the feeling of going into the season with a guy going to be a UFA at the end of the year in one of your key positions, and you're just not going to sign him. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's an RFA, you have a lot of there are mechanisms there where you're less concerned.
Right.
Between arbitration and the fact that offer sheets are something that don't truly exist in the NHL. It's and letting your starting goaltender just roll into a contract year.
Yeah.
Is so dangerous because if he goes off,
right,
then his price tag skyrockets and then maybe you're having a different problem. And it's the problem Vancouver's having right now with their goaltender who had a career year in a walk year, and he goes from being maybe a $3 million goaltender or $4 million goaltender to being $6.5 million.
Right.
And you're like, oh man, now we're going to have trouble keeping him. So that's something I'm very excited for, is watching how the goaltending battle, if you will. I still don't really think it's much of a battle yet.
Right.
But there's enough uncertainty there that guys still have to perform.
Yeah, and the Avs are in a unique position where I think you like when these guys get hot, you trust them both. So you can kind of ride the hot hand. It's about identifying that hot hand. And of course, the concern is, was Frankie playing so well once he didn't have competition because he was kind of the only option? And was that competition playing into that? And, you know, also goalies are strange beasts. I wonder how not having a crowd will impact them. Like, more than any other position, that's the one that I'm just curious to see if the crowd will have
any
impact whatsoever.
Well, and you know goalies feed off of the opposing crowd's, like, hatred of them.
Exactly.
And they feed off of the goalie chance, you know.
Right.
You know, Grubauer is not like, oh, I don't. He'll say, oh, I don't hear it during games, but like, come on, you're human.
Yeah.
You're skating around in the corners, like off in your own little world, and you're hearing the crowd going, right. You're kind of like internally, like, yeah, that's me. I'm Groob. That's me.
Right.
You got it, guys.
Yep.
I stop those pucks. That's what I do.
Absolutely. I mean, it must just help you stay locked in for 60 minutes.
Yeah. I hope the bench does it. I hope the Avs players on the bench give him the Gru after big saves.
That'd be incredible. That's what's so fun about these no crowds is it's like, you know, games you used to play with your boys at some empty field where all you can hear is you. But, you know, I remember playing back then. It didn't feel like, oh, it's so empty. It's like,
yeah,
it feels loud and we're yelling and we're into it and we're passionate and doing stuff.
You don't think when you've never played in front of a crowd, you don't think about a crowd.
Right. Exactly.
Like there's nothing. But when you're accustomed to playing in front of 17K every night.
Exactly. Right.
All of a sudden, you know, it's like you're back in like a junior league.
Totally.
Where you're playing in front of 100 people and they're all team personnel and random media members who are allowed to be there.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, everyone in the NHL always talks about, well, the postseason's different. Well, why is it different? It's probably a big part of it is you feel it just from the fans.
Yeah, well, the energy.
From the media, the energy, all of that, that energy that kind of bounces off of you, that's transmitted to you from the outside world. That'll be missing a little, so it will be interesting to see that.
Is this your second thing? Is your wanting to see what life is like without fans?
No, I've got enough of that. I'm starting to get familiarized with life without fans, though I miss it dearly. My second thing, I had to split hairs here. It's watching our guy Cale Makar, who of course did his NHL debut in the playoffs last year, scoring a goal and looking, you know, absolutely ridiculous. Then has, you know, his first full rookie season, and is playing at a historic level. I cannot wait to see this guy in this setting. Just, you know, again, if I miss Max speed and just watching him skate around the ice, you could say the exact same about Cale. You know, just that pairing with Ryan Graves and how much Graves really just kind of came out of nowhere and was one of the great stories for the Avs this year. But I mean, Cale's our guy, man. When we did this podcast way back when together, we were talking about, you know, those top four or five prospects in that draft and talking about Cale a lot and how he was a high upside prospect. And I certainly never thought we would reach these highs. You know, we talked high upside, but geez, I didn't quite think this, AJ.
We talked about him as we said, look, his ceiling is Erik Karlsson. And that's if he hits it, he's a Hall of Fame player. And we were like, look, like the it's easy to say that on draft day. Oh, this kid, he's got such a bright future.
Right.
And then,
right.
So many things have to go right from there, you know? And then they did.
Yeah, I like, didn't expect us to be right on time, like 2.5 years in.
Right.
Jeez. Like, I thought I'd be a little more undecided at this point. So seeing Kale get back, I mean, that's another, to me, fresh legs and the speed that this team has, you know, the youth, with the fresh legs and with their speed. I think those three things combined with this kind of format should really make the Avs lethal. And it starts with the two things that make me more excited, that top line and, you know, Kale being able to do his thing on the power play and being able to quarterback the D in 5-on-5 situations and just seeing his game keep elevating. I mean, it's one of the things that have me tuning into the Avs every game. And in this format, it's just going to be amazing.
It's tough to overstate, like it's being saying I'm excited for Kale McCarr. It's like one of those, like,
yeah,
really going out on a limb here. Right. But like, right. It's true. It's at the same time, we did an entire podcast dedicated to being excited of watching Kale McCarr, not just in the playoffs, but for the rest of his career. Because he's just that magnetic of a talent that you're just drawn in and you just want to watch more of it. And I mean, you can't go wrong anything Kale McCarr related right now. That's stock you should be buying.
Yeah, 100%. You don't see them messing with the defensive pairings much, right? At least not the top four.
I mean, we'll see. The Avs under Bednar are not they don't play strict pairings very much. Right. They play very situational pairings. So, you know, like they have their, like, hey, Graves is with McCarr and Gerard is with Johnson and Colin Zadorov are down there trying to figure it out. Like they have like their kind of set pairings, but based on situations. Yeah. They tweak things constantly. You know, if they have an offensive zone faceoff, they'll throw Gerard out there with McCarr. They have a defensive zone faceoff. Maybe they'll throw, you know, they'll throw Graves out there with Cole, you know, if, depending on shifts and if someone's tired, someone needs a whatever. Like they switch it up more than most teams. They're one of the most active in changing up their defensive pairings just based on situations, and that they're unique in that way. Like they, a lot of teams just roll pairings,
right?
But the Avs do a lot of Bednar, and they do a lot of tinkering. They don't do it with forwards very often. Like the only forward they really do it with is McKinnon, where they'll try and like steal a fourth line shift. Like, oh, hey, their fourth line is out there. They've been out there. They're stuck out there. Go hop out there and try and, you know, steal a goal real quick. Yeah. And, like, sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't because it's hockey and it's really hard to score goals. Yeah. But otherwise they don't. The coaching staff is very particular about how they do business.
If you had to guess right now, Kale with the most time on ice of any defenseman during this postseason run?
Yeah. I think that's, right. Yeah, because he'll be on power play one. And
yep.
I'm hoping that they draw more penalties than they take. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think that he should certainly lead them in even strength ice.
Fine. I'll accept your qualifier.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Nothing more to say on period two. Sound the horn.
Nope. Sound the horn. I'm good. I wish we had an actual horn.
I know. Does Rudo have that on regular shows?
No.
Come on. I'm going to have to talk to him.
Should get the Aldabs horn, like the gold siren.
That'd be beautiful. Yeah. What are you guys doing? Let's up the production here. One place that doesn't need to up the production is MSU Denver Online, which puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life, or nowadays having to go outside and take any unnecessary risks. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs. Some of our very own staff members at DMVR are taking MSU Denver online classes this summer. I'd encourage you to go check them out online. I've had fun doing that, just looking at the different courses they have. So many interesting ideas, so many things that get my wheels churning on what I could improve on and hone my skills on. So check that out and support them because they support us. And I don't know if I have a support transition here, but, you know, take care of your balls with Manscaped is what I would say on this one. The lawnmower 3.0 has been revolutionary in my household with their, you know, water resistant technology, their nice LED light, which lights everything up so I can see what I am doing. And needless to say, their nick free proprietary technology, which, you know, allows me to do it all safely, has definitely been a game changer. As you can see here down on the screen, you can use code DNVR20 for 20% off plus free shipping on manscaped.com. That is one hell of a deal there. And like I said, with MSU Denver Online, support them because they support us, and they have some pretty cool stuff there. I know I want to get back there and check out some more. I'm in need of some more razors, AJ, for my face, you know. Not that you would know anything about that.
Yeah, clearly I don't. I'm in need. I just haven't actually located one in a while.
I believe it. Sure looks like it. So, and now we are down to our final third period. AJ, the period some might say separates the man from the boys.
Sure.
What's the third thing you're most excited about with the NHL season? Or maybe I shall start here with the NHL restart. Man, AJ, you know, I went with some obvious ones early on, but I think maybe the most obvious of all is that I'm simply excited. It's kind of piggybacking off your first point. The format has me really excited. You were more of a scheduling guy. The format has me really excited because it's endless hockey. It's highly competitive hockey. I think this... The seeding round, not so much. The qualifying round with the extended seeds, that might have some legs if it's as we've seen before in these playoff formats in the NHL, anything's possible, and we see some big upsets. I really think that will that might stick because it's going to be that fun. But just to suddenly go from nothing for months and months and have playoff hockey return to us like this. I mean, you know, it's basic. It's an obvious point, but it's undeniable. I couldn't leave that out of the three things I'm most excited about. I'm simply most excited about playoff hockey returning and it returning in this fashion under this format, which I think is just going to be unbelievable.
I love the format. And I've said this before a few times that if this goes well, I think that it could be something that they could revisit to maybe be, I wouldn't hate it if it was more of a permanent thing, mm-hmm. where they have this qualifying round where, you know, five through 12 get to play the play in.
Yeah.
And they have a best of five where the top four teams like get a week off. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that it rewards them because home ice advantage is something that we've seen become less and less important over the years in hockey. So giving those teams, those top teams, another advantage, just a small feather in the cap, give them a week off. It's not so much time that they get, you know, you're all of a sudden super rusty, but give them a week to get a little bit healthy, a little bit, you know, back into shape, and rest up a little bit and feel good while the other teams just have to keep going.
Yep.
And Hearts.
And maybe reduce the regular season just a smidge.
I mean, I would. I'm all for that. I think regular season should be more like 68 games. But there's no way owners are going to be like, sure, why don't you just take that money right out of my pocket?
Well, we'd give you some playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking a best of five. You're talking three extra home games at most.
I know.
I think that would be a tough sell. I don't think it's realistic that to add the qualifying round on as a permanent thing.
No.
I don't think that's realistic either, but I love the intensity of it. And I love that it would give in a normal year. It would give those top teams just a little something extra for being a top team.
Right.
And with the way that the format is, the postseason format is now, finishing second in your division is a punishment.
Yep.
And I think that's bullcorn, man.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't make sense that the team finishes second and they, you know, like, you look at the really good divisions out there, you know, Tampa Bay, Boston, and Toronto, those three teams. You know, where the third team out of that one could very easily be the best team in the other, if they were in the other Eastern division. And I think it punishes them.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, your first round opponent could be one of the top five teams that was in the NHL. And if they were to make this qualifying round thing a regular thing, you don't worry about divisions and that. All you have to do is just be in that top four. Now it sucks to be the fifth team, like Edmonton, where they were just barely the fifth team.
Right, right.
But they also are rewarded by getting a matchup against a really not good Chicago team. Like, Edmonton shouldn't be crying too much. They should take care of business. If they lose to Chicago, it's because they couldn't take care of business. And you can't complain about having the Stanley Cup stolen or anything from them if you can't even beat a team that had like 70 points.
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Turns out you weren't a contender if you couldn't even
beat
the Blackhawks in the 5-game series.
Straight up. Like,
turns out you did not deserve to win the Stanley Cup. So, bye.
Right. And so it's, for me, I just think that I hate the current format so much that I'm very open to making a lot of changes to it. I'll do almost anything to change it because I hate it so much. With the two wild cards and how some division, like if the Pacific this year, you could be third in that division and you would have been sixth in the Central at some points. It was just like, this is, and you're like, you're insulated because you're in a bad division. Like, you're getting bailed out by that.
Right.
And in the 1-8 format, like, you have to be one of those teams. You know, and frustrates me.
I
hate that format. So I'm with you in that this format is going to kick ass.
Yes.
Because it's going to give us a different look. It's going to give the NHL powers that be that love to make questionable decisions. It's going to give them a different look at something where they can say, maybe that's a good idea.
Yep.
And then they should hire me to be their good decision maker.
One step at a time. Let's get this to stick. Maybe when the CBA is up next. One thing at a time, AJ. Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Now, their heart's in the right place with this new format, and totally. It has given us some great upsets and stuff. But yeah, it's really screwed these teams in the like best divisions, the showcase divisions in your league are getting screwed, and it should be
definitely like you're getting like, you look at like it's funny to make fun of Toronto and how they lose to Boston in the first round every year, but like,
yeah, that's a tough
Toronto would be in a better position, a more competitive playoff position, if they tanked the last week of the regular season and let somebody pass them in their division and fell to the wild card and like, man, we'll take our chances with like Tampa Bay. They would be in a better competitive position because Boston has their number for a reason. Like, that's their kryptonite stylistic matchup. And you should not, like, you shouldn't be rewarding that. Like, in one way that those two teams have played several times in the first round is a it reinforces why the NHL wants to do it, because they want those rivalries.
Yeah, right.
They want them, but I can tell you from a fan's perspective, we're all sick of it. Yeah. We don't want to watch the same teams play each other in the postseason. Last year was the first time the Avs and Flames had ever played in the playoffs, and it was cool.
It was nice.
It was cool, man. Yeah. Like, it was a good time. It was like, cool, dude. We get to hate somebody new. This right. We're gonna get our hate on with part of Alberta. This is gonna be awesome.
And I mean, it's not like you'd lose that, you know. Like,
right.
Toronto would still have to face off with Boston if both teams made a deeper run.
And that's what happens when you win rounds. But like, that's what happens when you win rounds. Not that's what happens when you get screwed by a format that punishes you for being in the best division in the NHL.
Right. Right.
Where three teams have at least 105 point seasons. And like, you're, because of that, like, the seeds 2 and 3 have to play each other. It's bull, man.
Yeah, you got to spread the love a little bit.
And, like, I would feel worse for Boston, except that the matchup is just perfect for them. But it's also bull that they're playing a 100-point team in the first round after they had, like, a 100-point season of their own. It's total nonsense. It's total nonsense. So this format, I hope, opens them up to new possibilities because – please, please, please make changes.
Well, more playoff hockey. Nothing wrong with that. Duh. Like, odds.
And in a normal year, a qualifying round while the top seeds sat and didn't do anything, that qualifying round would be totally insane.
More so than this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be awesome, dude. It would be such a good time. Because it's like, cool, we made the playoffs. It would be it would be similar to what we see with the wild card in baseball, which I know a lot of people hate, but I think is awesome. Watch every one of those games every year, and they are outrageously intense.
Yes. No, it's true. I mean, there's nothing better than single game elimination, too. So they've got that going for them. Okay. What are you excited for? Lay it on me.
We kind of touched on it last period, and it was one reason why I was like, is this where you're headed with this? Are you gonna steal my? Are you gonna steal my thing? But I'm kind of excited to see what it looks like with no fans. Like, I'm such a huge fan of sounds of the game that if the Avs players are all shouting "Gru" on the bench after a big save, we'll get to hear it, and we're gonna get to go through an entire postseason without glass banging Neanderthals right on top of the freaking mics because the defenseman dares to try and set it up and let his guys change and get something going in the neutral zone. And you got that Neanderthal who's three cores lights in and can't handle it, getting up there going, and it's like, dude, no, sir, please, somebody beat that man.
I may have to.
Instead of having to deal with that, we just won't have to. And it's that lack of glass banging obnoxiousness is already music to my ears. That lack of that silence is already one of the best things about playoff hockey this year. I hadn't even started yet.
I may have to go to your house, bring a lawn chair, stream the games on my iPad and bang on your windows like a Neanderthal. I'll be sure to be three cores deep as I start that.
I will give you the proper beating that man deserves. I can't handle it. I hate it so much. You know, like Drew gets on the Rockies pod and gets all sanctimonious about the wave. For me, it's glass bangers. I hate it. I hate it, dude. I can't stand it. But I'll miss the crowd intensity because it is an awesome thing to it changes games. Like there was no way Avs fans were not having Cale Makar score a goal in his debut last year. Like there was just no way. Like that crowd was like, we are willing this team into a special evening. And what does that game look like without fans?
Yeah. Yeah, that
that's one. such a special night. Mm-hmm. How does that look like without fans? It wouldn't be nearly the same. Yeah. And so there's going to be plenty lost, but as like a, you know, just a hockey purist, I guess, if you want to call it that. Whatever you want to call it. I sounds of the game. Give me the ice, give me the boards, give me the hitting, give me the chirping. Give me all of that. Give me mics all around the area, and I don't have to deal with the fans doing anything stupid. I'm all for that. I'm just so curious to see how different it is. And there's a chance I'll get two games in and I'll absolutely hate it. It would be a great like metal band name.
It would.
Glass banging Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think in sports where you score goals, the one part where you feel it is it's not so much the crowd noise and atmosphere, it's the reactions post goal. Mm. Those are just so much part of it.
Or post big hit.
Yeah, that's true. But especially post goal, it'll be weird not having a shot of then the crowd like collectively losing their minds off this big goal just being scored. But aside from that, you notice it at points, but for the most part, it kind of it oddly feels normal once you get settled in and the camera just focuses in on the ice or the field or what have you.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of the piping and the noise. It just sounds weird.
Yeah. If it's crowd noise that the players can't even hear and they're putting it on my TV channel, it's like, please take that off.
It's so awkward, dude. It's like white noise where you're just like, why? No.
Right, and the delayed like crowd reactions, like no thanks.
I'm like a producer's hitting like a crowd like woo button, and you're just like, right.
Yeah, no.
I don't like this at all.
Cut that, please.
I'll pass on all of that. I'm excited might be the wrong word, but just like I do like. I am intrigued by a world of Stanley Cup playoffs without fans. It's not something I want moving forward outside of the glass banging being not a thing, but like I do want to see just sort of what it looks like and be able to hear the game and have it be less announcer heavy. Like I would love it if I could, can I pay extra money for a broadcast that just doesn't have broadcasters?
Man, that'd be kind of fun.
And it's just pure picking up the mics.
NBCSN, get on it. Offer
that. And like, I've wanted this for years, right? Like, years.
Right, right.
This is just a golden opportunity to.
They really should offer that option.
Yeah.
They really should.
Just let me listen. Just let me listen. Like, there are illegal streams out there that don't go to commercials. And you get to just sort of see what happens in between. And you're like, yeah, this is kind of cool. Like, I don't need to see like their little dance routine or whatever, but it's cool to like watch what actually is taking place on the ice. I like that stuff. Cause you can see different things when you're in the arena, you know, you pick up on little thing, like Sven Andrighetto used to hop off the bench during every TV timeout and just skate around in circles to stay warm. Like, every single time he would always do it. And I like seeing stuff like that, personality stuff, what guys like to do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike gave us some nice insights. Producer Kale says they did that for the college football national championship. Yeah. They had all sorts of different streaming
they had like options. Six different feeds to watch. Mm-hmm. And it was almost too much because it was like, I want to try all of these out.
Right. Yeah, they have like a coach's film with their like coaches and players breaking stuff down and calling out plays. Those are always really cool.
But the silent one was definitely, it was mint. Loved
you
it.
You really are kind of a purist. That's true.
Yeah, I don't like broadcasters. So, and it's like, for me, they just don't do much for, they just don't do much for me. I would prefer to just bring me sounds of the game.
D-Line Co. would be a Neanderthal, I think. No surprises there.
That's the, I could imagine that dude headbutting the glass, getting so amped up and just being like, rah! He's a ram after all.
I mean, you know, when you are one, you gotta own it.
Right.
Like, shooter's gonna shoot, ram's gonna ram. That's, you know,
right. Plain and simple.
Will you allow me to embark on a quick side tangent with you here?
Yeah, how about
and it? Have you give me some betting advice on NHL side props?
Yeah, of course.
With this return. First, I want to ask about your lovely other half, your fiance from Winnipeg. She is hoping the Jets lose so they have a chance at winning the lottery, yeah? Or is she's holding out hope for a series win?
I think she's in the we have to keep some distance when we get into certain things.
Understood.
But I think she's probably in the point where there isn't a bad outcome for her right now.
Beautiful.
Love it. They beat the Flames. Canadian teams love beating other Canadian teams, like way, like a lot, right?
Of course.
And so they beat the Flames. That's awesome. They lose to the Flames. They're in the lottery for laugh. That's also awesome. Like, I think she views this as win-win for her right now.
It's an all gravy because, you know, this, this line, this draft prop of who's going to get the number one pick. They're all plus a thousands. I get it. They're all plus a thousands because you're basically, you know, what's a non-vulgar analogy? You're throwing mud at the wall and hoping something sticks. Yeah, exactly. Jello on the wall might be kind of fun. Best odds is the Canadians at exactly plus 1,000. The Jets are plus 1,200 there. The Coyotes, who of course would have that Hall luck to their favor, at plus 1,100.
This is strictly like lottery odds?
Strictly to win the lottery. So you're both predicting this team to lose and then to have the good luck to just win.
Dude, ride the Taylor Hall voodoo.
I'm with you, right?
I think just ride
Arizona,
it,
like, right.
Especially against Nashville, where I think Nashville has that might be a short series.
That might
be over in three.
He's really the one outlier here is Taylor Hall.
Yeah, Taylor Hall is. His team's win the lotto. That's just what happens, man.
He's the lotto goat. Nothing to it. Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Maybe I'll sprinkle some on Winnipeg just to feel good for your fiance, just in case.
Somebody has to feel good for her because I'm definitely not on her side when it comes to that. I told her if they win the lotto, she better not wear that Laughing Hair jersey across that border.
Oh boy.
She's gonna try and pull a fast one and wear it on our wedding day, and I'm not gonna be okay with that.
Hey man, you might feel different once that
I hope she's listening to this right now. Don't
I do too.
Don't play, girl.
Okay. There you go. She has been warned as well. So voila. That's all I had for us today, my man.
That's it for the betting. Well, that was easy enough.
Yeah, I mean it's a complete crapshoot, but I'll take the Coyotes. I like it.
Good deal.
I'm so crazy.
I think that's fun money. I don't know how smart it is, but
it's fun money for sure. I've been big on the fun money, though. Regretfully, my role should be to be the smart money person. So I need to rein it in a little.
pull back just a little bit there.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Don't stop being so enticed by all these plus 1,000 bets. Before we go out, we want to remind you that this show is presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. You can check out their two locations in Centennial and Highlands Ranch, where they have just an incredible variety and have you well stocked you know, some incredibly knowledgeable people on their floor too. You can also go there for Breckenridge Breweries which they carry out, and you know, like us, they are locally owned and operated. I would highly suggest that you Download their app today to get all their deals, and you can sign up for their loyalty program. That's how you can get the curbside delivery and all those sweet perks. And while you're there, get yourself some of Breck's delicious 15-can sampler delivered straight to your door. Can't get better than that. All right, my man. It was fun doing this. I guess Rudo's back, so I
appreciate you coming off the bench, pinch hitting. There wasn't a good hockey analogy, so
I was
popping on for us and hanging out. We'll have to do it again. We'll have to get with Jesse and run it back super old school.
I think so. It sounds like that. That must happen at this point.
Yeah, it must. I agree.
And so it shall, as you cough us off the show.
Yeah, my God, I'm dying.
Hopefully not.
And let's get out and let it be a mystery.
Yeah, that's right. You will find. Tune in tomorrow to find out if AJ survived the coughing spree. Back at 1 on Wednesday.
That's right.
All right. Bye, fellas.
See ya.